I'm Cassandra Cousineau, your girl, the Sportsnista, here on a Wednesday, early evening. We have a really special guest today, really excited to talk to you. You know her as the Happy Warrior and Roxanne Modafferi, who is the number 8 flyweight in the UFC. She's got 25 wins, but she's also got a lot of other interesting things going on. And so without further ado, hi there, Roxanne.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You know what? I just have to ask you really quickly. Some people call you Roxy. Some people call you Roxanne. I don't know you like that. So I want to know, how do you prefer most people call you?
Well, people call me Roxanne until we become friends, and then they call me Roxy.
All right. So we are going to call you Roxanne today. At the end of this interview, I hope to call you Roxanne.
Okay.
I call you Roxy, rather. I'm sorry. So you're getting ready for something really special, and we're going to get to that. But first, I read your blog every now and then. I know that you're a writer. You've got a memoir that you published as well. But something caught my eye recently, and you said you took your first trip to Florida, your first trip ever in life.
Yeah, I've never been to Florida, so I finally had the opportunity to go, and it was nice.
Now, you've lived most of your life in Las Vegas, so what was that trip like for you, coming from the desert and then going to Florida to actually help out your friend?
Well, actually, I grew up in Pennsylvania and then went to high school and college in Massachusetts and then lived in Japan for 8 years, so I guess I consider myself growing up in New England. Then I spent 8 years in Vegas. So it was cool going back and seeing actual vegetation, deciduous trees. It kind of reminded me of growing up in Pennsylvania, you know, except there were palm trees everywhere. So that was nice.
Actually, humidity. Yeah. Humidity. So the desert is great for your hair, bad for your skin. When you get into the humidity, great for your skin, not so great for your hair. I actually went to Suffolk University in Boston, and so I'm a little bit familiar with the area. When you went to help your friend in Florida, I just wanted to know, is it harder for you to actually work with someone and then actually be there while your friend is fighting? Or is it harder for you to get ready for your own fight? Do you get more nervous?
It's harder for me to get ready for my own fight, you know, because it affects my life and my heart and soul. But yeah. You know, my best friend, Serena, I'm super close to her. So, you know, how she does affects me very much as well. Like I always get like kind of stomach pains before my fight. And she's the only one I've ever gotten stomach pains for before her fight, just because it meant so much to me.
Yeah, you get really nervous. I can't imagine. Everybody is making adjustments because of the pandemic, and training is unusual. People have to be creative. Is there something unusual or creative that you've had to do in the past 8 months?
Yeah, you know, the gym closed, so I did park jitsu and park thai. You know, I went to the park with my friend, with my training partner and friend Kelly and Justin, and we drilled and sparred a little bit. We did the parking lot Muay Thai, you know, things like that.
In Las Vegas?
In Las Vegas, yeah. Okay. We got attacked by the sprinklers mid-jiu-jitsu roll. Like,
You didn't scare anybody away. Well, you're probably the only people in the park. So it's kind of hard to scare anybody away.
Yeah.
More than likely. I've noticed actually you've been training a lot in the gi lately. Is there a reason for that?
I really love the gi. You know, I want to get better at it. I think I'm better at no gi at this point, just because I've been doing no gi for MMA. But the gi is so cool. So many things you can do with it, lapel and wrap it around stuff. Like, it's so cool.
Yeah. You started out, if I'm correct, with Taekwondo, Jiu-Jitsu in the middle, and then BJJ. You're also a teacher, and I've noticed you've worked a lot with young kids. I have a 7-year-old who's been doing Taekwondo since he was 4.
Nice.
And I was just wondering, on your journey, when you talk with young athletes, particularly little girls, is there an order that's more logical for you now in terms of becoming a martial artist that maybe was different than how you did it?
What do you mean an order?
So you started with Taekwondo, then Jiu-Jitsu, and now BJJ. So would you, if you were talking to young people who were interested in training in martial arts, is there one that you think is probably better foundationally right now for young kids?
I think it was just the frame of mind I was in. So I was inspired to do martial arts from like TV shows and superheroes, like the Power Rangers and things like that. So they were doing like, you know, punching and kicking and like, you know, karate style. So karate made sense because I wanted to be like that. But now UFC is so big. And I think, you know, people are watching fighters do all sorts of different styles. So it might be natural for them to want to do ground fighting if they are inspired by that. So, but I really like jiu-jitsu because you can submit an opponent or subdue them without hurting them. So I really like that. That's like my personal martial art code. So I like, I'm trying to pass that down to my students, tell them like, you know, I'm teaching you how to be strong and you have to use your powers for good, like superheroes, right guys? And they have to say, yes, ma'am. Like I say that every class. I try to instill that in them.
Yeah, that's a really interesting perspective. So my son, he's a little guy. So I said, you're either going to have to be funny or know how to fight. So we started with Taekwondo, but I'm thinking about in a couple of years anyway, once he gets a little more body control, to go into jiu-jitsu. Because if really, if you get into a fight, it's probably going to end up on the ground. Am I correct?
The small guys, because they can use leverage and they have to be more technical. So I find like the small guys are really good at jiu-jitsu. It's meant for them, sort of.
Small guys and small gals.
Gals, for sure, yeah.
He's not small because his mama ain't small.
Another reason I like the gi is because you can kind of use it against bigger people. Like I do better with a gi with a big dude than no gi with a big dude, you know, mm-hmm. like your muscles. But yeah. For the gi, I can kind of flip them.
And it's also a lot more cerebral. You're thinking kind of your next move. Is that correct? While you're in it, you got to get out of something or you got to get somebody into something.
Yeah, I have to sense their balance and their motion. And there's a lot that goes into it. Yeah.
You had written in a few blogs back, perhaps maybe 4 or 5 years ago, about how you really wanted to be the first female champion in UFC. And I actually talked to Dana recently about kind of his evolution about female fighters in UFC and how he went from saying they'll never be here to creating a championship. And now, I mean, you look at some of these divisions, your division, definitely the strawweight division, and anything that Amanda Nunes does, as being critical for the success of the promotion. I think probably still Weili Zhang and Joanna fight from earlier this year is probably going to be the fight of the year. How have you evolved in your thinking in terms of your place in the UFC as a female fighter?
I'm so happy that I made it to the organization that I've been dreaming about for so long. And I remember watching the first female fight, and it was so cool but heartbreaking at the exact same time because I wanted to be that female, you know. And I had been kind of at the top of the rankings for females, but, you know, there also weren't that many of them. So I was just hoping for my chance. And when I finally got the chance to be here, you know, I kind of acknowledge now that I'm not the best in the world, but you know, I'm not like Amanda Nunes or, I don't know, but I fight hard and I can win, you know, so I'm just gonna commit myself to keep improving and keep being the best I can be. And I can still win fights, you know, anybody can win a fight at any given time, even if you're better or not as good or whatever. There's so much that goes into it. So I'm really happy that I'm still, you know, in the top 10. I've actually been looking through the rankings over the years. I found like a time hop from 10 years ago, and I was in the top 10 of 135 pound division. So I've pretty much always been in the top 10, which is cool. Mm-hmm. I work really hard for that.
Yeah,
I'm evolving. So it's kind of, I'm just really trying to stay proud of myself while working hard and not beating myself up for not being the best, you know, like.
Yeah, I understand. We're talking with Roxanne Modafferi, who is a number 8 ranked flyweight in UFC and one of the best and most versatile fighters in the world. Do you think about how your style has evolved over the year? I look at the Macy Barber fight from earlier this year, and I can't believe that was this year. First of all, like, so much has happened, but you embrace, I mean, everyone knows you as a happy warrior, but it seems like you had to embrace your dark side for that fight. Are you carrying that with you throughout the year? Or do you find that you just had to adjust depending on what the opponent was bringing
you? Hang on just a second. What do you mean by embracing the dark side?
Well, I feel like you had to embrace more of a dark side. I'm not saying you went complete Sith on him. You didn't do that.
Okay. No, I did try to put myself up a little bit and really like more like determination than dark side. Everyone was saying dark side. My coach AJ was like, "You're the dark side." I'm like, "No, I'm not." You know, but yeah, there's something to that. But, you know, I'm trying to be more ruthless, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I always fight really hard and try to knock the person out. So I don't know how much more I can do, really.
Right. Well, you're not known to throw an enormous amount of elbows, but we saw some more willingness and picking your spots to actually do that throughout the year. You know, you mentioned your coach, you train out of Syndicate here in Las Vegas. What's the toughest thing you had to hear from a coach?
The toughest thing I've had to hear from a coach? Should I give me more time to think about that one?
Yeah, I'll frame it for you a little bit better.
Actually tell me what you think.
Yeah, so recently you have Cowboy Cerrone and Daniel Cormier. One is definitely retired. The other one is being encouraged to, per Dana White. Then there are fighters like on the female side, like Michelle Waterson, who wanted to be the first mom champ. And the road is not as straight as, you know, you want it to be. And so when you have these goals as a fighter, whether it's how you start, how you adjust, or how you finish, there's other voices, your coaches, people who love you, your mom. You talk about your mom quite a bit. And then your own voice in your own head. There's got to be some reconciliation on where you are and where you want to be. So in there, it's got to be some tough conversations.
Well, my parents, like, constantly ask me, like, so are you going to retire yet? Congratulations, this is your last fight, right? Oh, okay. Like, I'm always getting that from them. But they're supposed to be like that. They're my parents. They don't want to be in space, so they're excused. You know, my coaches have always supported me. They know what a determined hard worker I am. You know, I can still hang in there physically, so I'm getting stronger. Mm-hmm. So I just moved to Syndicate from Japan, and I think John Wood said to me, oh, man, my body was a wreck. Like, I didn't do strength and conditioning. I was injured everywhere. John said something like, well, what did he say? Something like, yeah, we'll train this and that and blah, blah, blah in the twilight of your career or in the last fight or something of your career. Like, he made some like funny, like epic reference to like, oh, the last path of your career. And I'm like, don't say that. And then I turned out to fight for like 7 more years after that. Cause he was wrong. Like, I healed my injuries. I got stronger. It was just funny. Cause he that I was almost done, but I'm actually just getting started. And I went through Invicta and got to the UFC. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. Did you notice how important Invicta was? You mentioned Invicta for building pretty much every weight class in UFC. Do you look at some of like your former foes or colleagues in Invicta and think, wow, you know, who would have thought we would all end up here?
Yeah, you know, Invicta is amazing. You know, Shannon Knapp did an amazing job. Everyone, the matchmakers, Angie, everyone who runs the organization, they have been helping female fighters have the chance to fight for so long, flying them in from everywhere across the world. You know, they didn't have to do that. I'm sure that cost a bundle. And then when the fighters reached a level, the UFC snagged them. But I mean, it's nice that they let them do that.
Yeah, that there was actually a real path to continue on. I mean, you talk about your coach talking to you about the twilight of your career, and you had almost another decade after that. The foundation that you all were able to build from Invicta in that bridge to UFC probably contributed to that in some sense, you think?
100%.
You talked earlier about you writing your memoir. I think it was How to Be Positive.
I have Memoirs of a Happy Warrior and then my psychological book, How to Be Positive. And now I'm writing Memoirs of a Happy Warrior too.
You, in writing that second memoir, how much of that is informed by this new phase of your career, but also just of your life? I think when you first write a memoir, any documentation, whether it's a blog, your perspective is different. What's changed your perspective in this one?
I tried to start the time period after college, you know, because that's where my other memoir ended. And mm-hmm. I'm trying to do major events in my life. Let's see, my theme is going to be overcoming. So it's going to be called Memories of a Happy Warrior 2, colon, overcoming. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, I'm going to write stories about like this really hard thing I went through, but it led to this, or I overcame and this happened to me. Because there's something happy, dude. I've gone through so much crap, but you know, I managed to get stronger and overcome things. So I want people to know that and maybe take inspiration from it.
Is there something people would be surprised that you had to overcome?
Yeah, a lot.
So when's the book coming out then? Okay.
Yeah.
When can we expect to buy that?
Sorry, just for example, I got sick with food poisoning so bad.
Oh, that's
the night before Sengoku. I was supposed to fight in like the biggest Japanese promotion in Japan against the opponent I really wanted to fight against. And I got so sick, and like I was like having a fever in the locker room, and my coach was taping my hands, and I'm like, I can't fight. And the promoter's like, you're gonna fight. And I'm like, he's Japanese, he's gonna get me. And I ended up not fighting. And they made me walk out into the ring and like bow to the crowd and apologize. It was terrible. Oh. It saved my life. I guess I didn't really overcome that, but I had to live it down, and my coach is disappointed in me. So I just had to get over that and keep fighting and just keep getting stronger and emotionally overcome that. I guess that was a rough thing that happened to me.
Yeah, I have a cousin who's been teaching English in Japan for, I think, 5 or 6 years now. And she's coming back to America, and she's saying so many things. And she's very young. I mean, she went over there when she was 21 years old and right out of Vassar College and first time away from home. Having fought at a high level in two different cultures, how much stronger has that made you? Mentally?
I mean, I don't think there's such a big difference between the places. It's a fight.
Well, you just laid out an experience where you had to go in and apologize to the crowd for not being available to fight that night. That's probably something that would not happen in Las Vegas.
Yes. No, that was probably, yeah, for me, something that was the biggest cultural difference between fights. In addition to the Japanese wearing things they called costumes, like the girls dressed very interestingly, like not the typical sports outfit, but they made their own outfits, and because it was more entertainment. Okay, that's true. So Japanese female MMA is more entertainment than sports. So I'm kind of hesitant to say that because it's changed nowadays, but yeah. Back in the day, it used to be like that. So I guess I just had to get through it. I don't know.
We are talking with Roxanne Modafferi, the number 8 ranked flyweight in UFC. Before we let you go, because you got something important that's happening this weekend. Roxanne, are you in Texas? Is it in Texas?
Yes, I'm flying to Houston tomorrow.
Okay. Flying to Houston tomorrow for the Submission Hunter Pro 60 against Danielle Kelly in a grappling super fight tomorrow. There's the fight, but there's also an important cause that the fight is also supporting. So can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yes, I think some of the profits are going towards breast cancer awareness. There's an organization it's getting donated to. That's awesome. I have a lot of that in my family, actually. So it kind of hits home. And I have a friend who went through cancer, not breast cancer. But yeah, it's terrible. You know, we got to support our fellow humans.
Yeah, supporting our fellow humans. And so speaking of, I don't know if you know, but there is a big election, a debate happening today. And it comes down to what treat you prefer on Halloween. So we want to know. I'm not going to let you do something crazy like that, Roxanne. I wouldn't take you down that other trip.
Chocolate.
So Okay, I know that you love chocolate because I saw that your friend Serena's mom brought you out the chocolate cake and you were so excited about that in Florida. But when it comes to chocolate snacks for Halloween, so would you go with one gotta go? Almond Joy, Snickers, Milky Way, or Reese's peanut butter cups? Which one gotta go?
Gotta go, like, no good.
Right. Which one would you, if you could only have three, one of them has to go. So you got Almond Joy,
Almond Joy can get
Snickers,
to go.
not a coconut girl at all.
I don't know, but I always had Milky Way, Snickers, and Reese's. Those are like my favorites, actually.
The little ones, like those, do you remember the little ones?
I don't know, but it's just delicious. I want them now. Exciting.
So, speaking of gotta go, we are so appreciative of your time. I'm hearing rumors that you may be back in the Octagon for UFC in January. Is that confirmed yet?
It's true.
It is true. So hopefully we'll see you in Las Vegas
Yes, I
for,
hope so. They say unsure, but probably.
yeah, for that fight. In the meantime, how can we can people watch the event this weekend?
I believe it's UFC Fight Pass, so you can sign up or get a trial and then trial it out and see what happens. But yeah, it's on UFC Fight Pass.
Also, check out RoxanneMotiferi.com. Her blog is always really just kind of real.
Dot net.
Real. Thank you, RoxanneMotiferi.net. Also, love your Instagram post too. I was looking at that bag that you had, the little cooler, and I was like, I
Yeah.
wonder what kind of treat she would put in there. So I know that you're training. If there was something delicious and naughty that you could put into your cooler, what would you put in there?
Ice cream.
Chocolate or vanilla?
I tried and it actually didn't last.
You gotta, well, it might next week.
Yeah, so chocolate, of course, chocolate.
Maybe next week. I hear it's gonna be like 50 degrees on Tuesday. So get some rest. Best of luck to you on Saturday. And I hope to see you again in Las Vegas in January.
Thank you. Pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you. Take care, Roxanne. So we were talking with Roxanne Motiferi from UFC, the number 8 ranked flyweight. Just so you know, one thing that's really important to me is when you're talking to athletes who have nicknames, I always ask, what they prefer to be called. Her name is Roxanne. And when you know her, she said you can call her Roxy once you're friends with her. So I know people get really excited when they meet athletes or actors or anybody that they believe is, somewhat in entertainment or approachable. It's always best to be respectful, especially if they could put you in a headlock and put your ass on a mat quick, fast, and in a hurry. So just want to real quick tease a show that's coming up on Friday. We have Mayweather Promotions athletes coming in, as well as the in-ring announcer, my partner in time, Ralph Velez, at 4 o'clock on Friday. Thank you to Jeremy Long, who had production duties today. We will be back next week. I think we're going to be seeing y'all on Thursdays for a little bit. Jeremy's putting some more butter on his bread, so we got to change up our days a little bit. For Levels Podcast, Jeremy Long, Ralph Velez, and Vegas Sports Daily. I'm your girl, Cassandra Cousineau, the sports nista. Y'all stay out of trouble, knuckleheads. Bye.